Our first reading, Matthew 11, some selected verses. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and yet you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy, carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And our reading from Genesis 1 to 5 and 31. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And this is the word of the Lord.
I was in Port Hedland about 15 years ago when NAIDOC Week happened. The chairperson of our church, a young Aboriginal woman, invited me to come to the ball, the NAIDOC ball, and I was invited to sit with the people at the ATSIC table. It was a marvellous night of celebration, and for me it was a real learning experience. And it's the first time and the only time I've ever danced with an Aboriginal man, and he could dance. Last Sunday night we watched the televised 2017 NAIDOC ball, and it was held in Cairns, and the winners of their national awards were announced, and that was an exciting night of celebration and stories. The National Male Elder of the Year for this year is Ollie George from Mount Morgan in Western Australia. And his award was in keeping with their theme for this year, Our Language Matters. Uncle Ollie is the last living fluent speaker of the Badimaya language of Western Australia, an old man of the bush. He learned the language while growing up with his grandparents. And then in 2014, he led his community in releasing the first Badimaya dictionary. Without him, that language would have been lost forever. He also happens to be another grandfather of the family of the chairperson of the congregation when I was there, Sharon. But across the other side of the world, in ancient times, there were people who kept alive the oral stories of creation we find in the Bible today, and Anne read for us. Those people knew the power of language. we heard today when Anne read the Genesis reading. In the beginning, God said, let there be. God spoke and creation came into being. A number of times God said, and then when everything was made, God saw that it was very good. We still know that language is powerful. We hear from the Aboriginal and Islander people in this 2017 theme, Our Languages Matter. The theme aims to emphasise and celebrate the essential role that Indigenous languages play in cultural identity, the who am I of life, linking people to their lands and their waters and to the role in passing on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander history, their spirituality, their rights, their life, through story and song. No wonder Uncle Ollie won the National Award. And no wonder the people too grieve the loss of their languages, often forced. And I have to say, there are places where that was not done. Just think of Pukaja or Ernabella, where the Presbyterian missionaries absolutely emphasised the language and they learned the languages themselves. There are many other awards this year for NAIDOC, for women and men, young and old. In South Australia, one of them is Doris Cartanieri. She won the Lifetime Achievement Award, a Narrangeri woman stolen from her family at just 1 month old, a strong advocate for the stolen generation, and author of the book Kick the Can, which is used in high school and in universities. Today, in high schools and in universities, and I'm sure primary schools, sometimes the first people's languages are being taught, and keeping the language alive, and learning about the history of the people. And I just wanted to say that I remembered when I wrote that 20 years ago I went to the Adelaide University at night time to learn the Pitjantjatjara language, but unfortunately I'm a hopeless language learner, failing Hebrew at college and all that sort of thing. But as you go and do that, the students are becoming more interested in contemporary Indigenous matters. Now there's a photo coming up with three people with Bibles. In the photo is Berry Bob. Oh, it's a bit dark. Anyway, Berry Bob, Elizabeth and Louise translating the English Bible into Gunawungu. This photo was taken a couple of years ago, but Louise MacDonald from Jabiru continues coordinating and supporting translation into Indigenous languages in Northern Australia. And she's also recently, this year, coordinated a four-day translation workshop with 30 Aboriginal translators from various parts. Louise is married to Lindsay Parkill, and he is the Uniting Church Patrol Minister at Jabiru. He's a linguist and he speaks local languages. And you may be just interested to know that at Easter time, they went with a busload and a troopy load of people from Jabiru to the annual Easter pilgrimage at the Catherine Christian Convention. They tell me, when I spoke to them recently, that over 1,000 people attended that Easter convention, and many of them, most of them, would have been Aboriginal people. I spoke of being in Port Hedland for NAIDOC Week, and also of the grandfather who won this year's Elders Award. I want to tell you of another grandfather. When I went to Port Hedland to be interviewed to see if I was suitable for a minister, to be their minister, and I could look them over, I was there for 3 days and was introduced to many people in church and community, and that's another story I can tell you. On my last day before flying home, I was taken to meet the father of Sharon, the chairperson of the church. He was an Aboriginal man, and we sat in the backyard talking for an hour or more. One of the things he said to me was this, looking straight at me. In the old days, your people got out of the wrong side of the cave. They went around the world invading, murdering people and stealing their lands. Now, nobody had actually said that to me face to face before. Could I deny it? Could I argue? No. I was later to discover the terrible story of his being taken away from his mother, and later as a youth, when he tried to get to his dying mother that he'd heard on the grapevine about it, he wasn't given permission to leave the station where he was working, but he set out to walk. But he was chased by the manager on horseback and at rifle point was forced back to the station. Intriguingly, he also said that day, "One day the Aboriginal people who have gone on, who have passed away, will all come out from under the rock, from Uluru, and bring freedom and peace to us." Intriguingly, he also, that's what he said. But I couldn't help but remember this and remember him when Indigenous people from all across the nation met for 3 days in late May at Mutijulu, Uluru, and the outcome was the Uluru Statement from the Heart. The Uluru Statement from the Heart, I believe, was presented at Presbytery Synod 2 weeks ago by Reverend Mark Kickett from Congress. Now, there should be another photo. There we go. Love this photo. A photo of children playing football at Mutijulu during the closing ceremony of the conference at Uluru recently. I just love it. But the Statement of the Heart begins, "We, gathered at the 2017 National Constitutional Convention, coming from all points of the southern sky, make this statement from the heart." And it goes on, speaking of being in this land for over 60,000 years, and it speaks of their sovereignty, and it being a spiritual notion, this sovereignty, their sovereignty never being ceded or extinguished, and it coexists with the sovereignty of the Crown today. It speaks of the dimensions of their crisis as the torment of their powerlessness and of aspirations for a fair and truthful relationship with the people of Australia and a better future for their children based on justice and self-determination. It speaks too of the need for constitutional and structural change. And they say, "We seek a Makarrata Commission to supervise a process of agreement making between governments and First Nations and truth telling about our history." And the final sentence, "We invite you to walk with us in a movement of Australian people for a better future." That is a challenge for us to work on, for the whole of Australia, for the peoples of the churches. And the Uniting Church has already been grappling with this, and we see it in the preamble. But there's much more work to be done, and it's a challenge for the whole wider community. Torres Strait Islanders and Aboriginal people also share in a book called Our Mob, God's Story. Here it is. I suspect it will turn up in the library here. Our Mob, God's Story. This book was published this year by the Bible Society to celebrate 200 years since the Bible Society has begun. And they're beautiful pages of stories painted and of faith sharing. And two are by a young woman, Inna, from the APY lands. There's many more. Inna is a young leader with her people. And in the book, along with her vibrant painting, she says she met the Lord in a powerful encounter. She has a love for prophetic art And it says she dreams of a future where her people have lives of freedom promised in Jesus. Part of that is for us to have the courage and the future and the humility to face up to the violence and atrocities, the loss of languages and dispossession of our sisters and brothers of the First Peoples. And as Inna says, in that helps for them to have lives of freedom promised in Jesus, and it helps us too. Jesus, speaking in the Matthew reading today, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy loads." We know this beautiful invitation. We've heard it plenty of times before. And Jesus offers this gift: "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's an invitation into Jesus' paradox, into seemingly insurmountable struggles in our own lives and in the lives of the communities and our world. We can find hope and reassurance and even joy to go on as we lean into the values, the inspiration, and the wisdom of the Spirit of Jesus. This is a beautiful gift and an invitation. The invitation that Jesus spoke, "Come to me." This beautiful invitation that helps us through the hard parts. On the one hand, the hard, tough parts. And on the other, the hope and reassurance and even joy as we go on. This is Jesus' paradox, and it's for us. This is the invitation of Jesus to sustain us as we are invited to walk together with the First Peoples, dealing honestly with the past and working for a more just and better future. We think on this in NAIDOC Week this year. Amen.